I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The wounded officer in the shooting over the weekend that left two officers dead has been released from the hospital. Here's Jason Campadonia.
The attack happened on Saturday when officers were responding to a domestic disturbance call. Investigators say John Felix shot three officers and two have died. Witnesses say Felix's father screamed, "My son is crazy and he wants to shoot all the police," before hearing multiple gunshots. Felix has a long rap sheet and is due in court tomorrow. Last night, hundreds of people gathered to honor the fallen officers. A makeshift memorial is growing outside the small police station. Authorities say Felix killed a 35-year veteran of the force with eight kids and a relative newcomer to the force with a four-month-old baby. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
Commuters in the New York area already having to deal with the problems of the Hoboken crash now have another derailment causing problems. Here's Scott Pringle.
Many LIRR riders had to either deal with delays getting in or drive to other lines because of limited westbound service this morning. And for those going back to Long Island, trains canceled for the morning rush on the Oyster Bay, Ronkonkoma, and Port Jefferson branches.
Just late for class. I have a, exam, and the branch is canceled till 10, and I have class at 9, so I won't get there. I miss half my day.
LIRR workers are still making repairs to restore one of the tracks. At Penn Station, Scott Pringle, New York.
Police in Michigan searching for suspects after a mass shooting at a party in a strip mall in Grand Rapids, Michigan. 21-year-old Duan Boykin was killed early yesterday morning. More news at USARadio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. Weather for today: sunny, a high near 62, north wind around 11 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy frost after 4 a.m. Otherwise clear with a low around 35, north wind 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, patchy frost before 9 a.m. Otherwise sunny with a high near 64, light and variable wind. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 41, calm wind. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 68, calm wind. Wednesday night, patchy fog after 3 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 48. Thursday morning, part patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 71.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And not to brag or pat ourselves on the back, but this show has won an award from the governor for anti-stigma, and we're very proud of that. But anyway, NAMI, there's a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, where we are, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, and we try to help families and individuals who have a mental health issue. We do it in various ways. We teach a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course, and it covers what to say, what not to say in a certain situations, what to do, what not to do in situations. It covers medications, side effects, And what it basically tries to do is to give the person attending the course an idea of what it's like for their loved one or their neighbor or their friend who has maybe have a mental health issue. We also run support groups once a month, every third Thursday of the month. It's here in Flemington at 52 East Main Street, and it's from 7 to 8:30 or later if it needs be. There is no charge for anything we do. We also have a basics course, which is a 6 to 7 week course for families who have young children, any child under the age of 18 who may have a mental health issue or is leaning towards that. Again, everything we do is free. You don't pay for any material, any binders, anything like that. If you need some information or would like to talk to myself or someone else within NAMI, our number is 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone to man the phone 24/7, but we do check it at least once a day, and we promise, we guarantee, we will get back to you. And now I'm going to turn this over to my co-host, Tracy Ivey, who's going to introduce our special guest today.
Hi, Larry. We're very pleased today to have Karen Kozlowski as our guest. Karen is the facilitator of the DBSA support meetings in Bridgewater. DBSA is a national organization that stands for Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, and its motto is We Are Powerful, which is a wonderful thought. The DBSA meets in Bridgewater once a week on Wednesday nights. It is free and open to anyone living with a mental illness as well as their family members. As a family member of someone with a mental illness, I attended the group for several years and found it very helpful. In recent years, the attendance has doubled, thanks largely to Karen's leadership. Karen is a very dedicated and caring person who will share more about her journey today. Karen, let's start with how you got involved with DBSA and the support group meetings.
I got involved with DBSA a number of years ago. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder in the early 1980s. In 1985, I was hospitalized. I was in for about 3 months, came out, went back in again for another 3 months, had a number of shock therapy treatments, and it was recommended that I go to the DBSA group, which at that time was in Morristown, New Jersey. That was the DBSA group in New Jersey. And I found that being with other people who also lived with a mood disorder was helpful. I heard their stories. They shared what was going on in their lives, what had happened. And it gave me strength to say, okay, I guess I can carry on. And at the same time, my marriage was falling apart, partly due to my having bipolar disorder. And again, the group was very helpful to keep me on track. At the end of the 80s, I got a job teaching, and I stopped going to DBSA. I retired from teaching in 2002. After having my hip and knee replaced. And in 2003 or 4, I decided that I was absolutely fine. And perhaps, in fact, I did not really have bipolar disorder, and I could go without my medication. So I did. And I was pretty good for 6 to 7 months. And then everything hit the fan, and I fell apart. I entered an outpatient program, intensive outpatient program at Princeton House, which is a psychiatric center in New Jersey. Came out of that, lasted about a week, and I decided that things were really not good, and I went inpatient. After I got out of the inpatient program, I did another outpatient program and started to go to DBSA. At this time, there were more groups, and I was going to a group in Hunterdon and in Princeton. There was a group in Hunterdon at, I believe it was the Nazareth Church in
In Annandale.
Right. And that sort of folded, and I went to Princeton. Got to know David Mazenko, who was the former president of DBSA. Now he is the regional representative for DBSA, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia, and Virginia. And he kept encouraging me to start DBSA in Somerset County. And 5 years ago now, we started a group, and that's how I got involved. David encouraged me, and I said yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, such a personal story. And you have mentioned something that's very common, is people going off their meds when they feel like they're better, and it can become a revolving door. So let's talk a little bit about who are the meetings for, and what's the structure of any meeting?
The DBSA meeting is for anyone who lives with a mood disorder. It's also for the friends and family of those who live with a mood disorder. And the structure of the meeting, we start out with a welcome. Everyone is welcome. They're free. We go through the guidelines of the meeting. And the important thing is to know that what's said in the room stays in the room. It's confidential. It doesn't go outside of that room. And that people share what they choose to share. And if you choose not to share, that's also okay. Sometimes you gain just as much by listening as you do by sharing. Those are the main principles. And then we go around and we might ask for a success that you have had during the week and ask for a topic that you might want to discuss. From there, we go into any discussion, and it lasts an hour and 45 minutes at our meeting, and we close the meeting with a suggestion of what we might do as we go out into the world for another week.
If I can ask a question.
Sure.
If you have, say, 10 people at your meeting,
mm-hmm.
and you ask for topics, and you get 10 topics, how do
we
you
split.
Pick one?
We split. The group will split into two groups, so that everyone has a chance.
When you split the group, do you split the people with the mental health issue and their relatives, or does it matter?
It matters on the individuals. Some people do not want to be with their relatives or their friends.
Right.
Then we split them. If they need them to be together, we stay together.
Okay.
It's pretty much up to the individual.
Okay.
But if you have 10 topics, that's almost too many to get to.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying. If you have 10 people, how do you pick the topic, or a topic or two, is it the one that most circulates among that group, or?
If you have three people that want to discuss the same topic.
Okay.
That's fine. If you have 10 different topics, it's not okay.
Right.
You really need to split.
Trust me,
you
I know.
You usually get 10 anyway, do you, Karen?
It's tough.
Yeah.
Now, what would be a topic, if I may, just out of curiosity?
I'm really having trouble with my family. They don't understand me.
That's a pretty common
my
topic.
My mother is on my case all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's very common.
Yes, that is very common. Mm-hmm. I hear it all the time. Yeah.
Side effects of medication. I'm taking this medication. It's not doing me any good. I've got a side effect. What do I do? Another topic that comes up frequently is I really don't like my psychiatrist. I don't think he's doing me any good. What should I do?
These are all topics that we hear in family to family and in support groups and, you know, and it's, you know, when you stop and think about the side effects of medication, there's three of us in this room. One med may affect you different than me and different than Tracy. Now, you take a young woman, say 19, 20 years old, and they put her on a medication, and all of a sudden she gains 60 pounds. She's not going to want to stay on that med, you know. And I can't say I blame her, you know, regardless of how good it works, you know. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, sometimes, and I've seen it happen more often than I care to remember, is that people don't stay on the medication long enough for it to have an effect, because what may affect me in 2 weeks may take 6 weeks or 8 weeks to affect you. And they don't compensate that. Oh, well, you know, it's not working, you know, so I'm going to stop, you know. But everybody's body is different.
Absolutely. You know?
And I've seen it, you know, more and more that, oh, well, it's not working. It's been on it a week and a half. What do you mean? It's, you know, give it 6 weeks, you know, or 2 months or whatever, you know, because it may take that long to, especially if it's interacting with another med.
Absolutely.
You know.
And that's, we at DBSA are not professionals. We are peers. We are people who live with a mood disorder.
Right.
We can speak for ourselves and we can say, well, such and such medication works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But your body is different from mine. So it will react differently. We can't say what you should or should not do.
Oh, absolutely not. I agree. I'm not a professional either. And when we teach the family-to-family course or run support groups, we don't try to be a professional. It's just in a support group, we're just somebody that's been through it before or maybe going through the same thing you're going through, or you may be just starting and we're at this end. And, you know, so we're just here to help. We're not here to, you know, diagnose or anything like
exactly.
That, you know, so.
But a camaraderie develops among all the people who come because they get to know one another, and it's just such a great feeling of support.
It does, and sometimes we'll have people that they haven't come in months. And one last week we had three people we hadn't seen in months. And they just happened to drop in. It was wonderful to see them. They were doing well, which was another good thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it does develop.
I think the fact that it's weekly is really such a bonus for people. They don't have to wait a whole month. You know, they just get so much reinforcement.
Right. There is a meeting every week.
Mm-hmm.
There are also meetings every day of the week in a relatively narrow area. On Mondays, there's a group in Sukasana. Tuesdays in Morristown and Princeton. Wednesdays in Somerset at the Richard Hall Mental Health Center on Vogt Drive. Thursdays at Carrier Clinic in Belmead. Fridays at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in New Brunswick. I don't believe there's a meeting on Saturday. On Sunday, there's a meeting in Freehold. Mm-hmm. And also on Monday, there's a meeting in Metuchen.
There's also a meeting on Tuesday in Flemington.
The Flemington meeting has taken a hiatus.
They're coming back next
hopefully
month. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And let's just give the quick details on the time. I know you mentioned Richard Hall. Robert Hall?
Richard Hall.
Richard Hall.
Robert Hall is the clothing store.
I know, the clothing store.
Right.
Which is right across from the library.
Right.
And it's at 7 p.m.
We meet from 7 until 8:45.
Okay. So, Karen, let's jump into what do you think are your goals as a facilitator every single week? What are you trying to accomplish?
The goal is to make sure that we stay focused on a topic. Also, to make sure that we're helping people along the way, that they're helping, that they're finding hope, that they're not leaving the meeting feeling hopeless, but hopeful. And it's up to the facilitator to guide the discussion so that people will feel the hopeful.
Mm-hmm. And you have several people in the group became trained as facilitators.
Correct.
What do they have to do to become a facilitator?
Every year, the DBSA New Jersey organization sponsors usually 4 facilitator training events. They're all-day events. They take place either at the Princeton University Hospital or Robert Wood Johnson New Brunswick Hospital. And they give scenarios of what we might find in a workshop, in a DBSA meeting. We practice and we get a certificate saying that we have been trained as a facilitator.
I noticed that some of the people who were trained, you know, they came originally as participants and then they became leaders, and I think it really was kind of a boost to their self-esteem, too, to be able to have that training and help other people.
Absolutely. I have seen that, and it makes a difference to them because mm-hmm. now they're helping somebody else.
Right, right. They're giving. They're not just...
Exactly. Yeah.
And I've also seen people come, and they said, I've been depressed all day, and I feel better just being here. Just coming to this meeting was an accomplishment. Because I think when you ask people, we go around the room, what is a success? And for some people, a success was just getting to the meeting.
Just being able to make it to the meeting is
right.
their success.
And some people, just getting out of bed in the morning is a success.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true, because I had a woman call me not too awful long ago, and she was jumping up and down on the phone saying her daughter never got out of bed. She won't get out of bed. She only get up and, you know, go to the bathroom, and that's it. She won't go to bed. So I asked her, I says, well, what would you like her to do if she got out of bed? And she says, well, I want her to take a shower and get dressed. I said, okay, suppose she does that. Then what? I want her to come downstairs and have breakfast and walk the dog. And I says, well, why don't you just leave her alone for a week? Don't bother her. She called me up about 4 days later, approximately 4 days later. She says, my daughter got out of bed. I said, what did she do when she got out of bed? She took a shower and got dressed. I says, and then what? She came downstairs and had breakfast. I said, what's she doing now? She says, she's walking the dog. I says, you may not realize it, but your daughter has always wanted to get out of bed and get showered and dressed and come down for breakfast and walk the dog. But at the time, she couldn't. I says, so be thankful for small favors and don't bust her chops. You know, it's be not that she didn't want to do it, but she couldn't do it.
She could not do it.
And, you know, but a lot of times, like you were saying earlier, families are not cognizant of the fact that their relative has an illness that they're not understanding, or they don't want to understand it. You know, in some cases, they just don't want to understand it. Or, you know, it's the old pull yourself up and, you know.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, go out and do it, you know. Go get a job, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that the person doesn't want to. They can't. You know, so. And it's not only with depression and bipolar. It's with anxiety. It's with schizophrenia. It's with, you know.
With any mental illness.
You know, it doesn't matter. It's just that, I mean, your group is focusing on a large portion of the mental health population.
Correct.
But, you know.
It's not the only one.
No, not by any stretch. And when you figure that, depending on the survey, it was the Mental Health Association says 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness. And there was another recent survey, and they said 1 in 4. So, all right, if you go from 1 in 5, you're talking 20%. Now, that's not 20% of New Jersey. That's 20% of the world population. So you're talking about a heck of a lot of people all over the world. And, you know, it's tough. It really is. Now, my next question.
Yes.
How do you find stigma affecting people not wanting to come to your meetings?
It's not
Karen's thinking.
It's not affecting the people that come to the meeting. They're coming because they feel a need to come. However, I do believe that it may prevent
some people from coming
because I don't want to talk about that. I have mental illness? No.
Right.
And the families don't want to talk about it, and the person with the mental illness doesn't want to talk about it. So the people that are there, I do believe, might feel some stigma, but not to the extent that the ones that are staying away.
Sure.
And the ones that are staying away perhaps they're in denial. You kind of alluded to that. I think the ones who are there, they've accepted their diagnosis for the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And there are some who are coming because someone said, oh, it might be good to come. And they will come 1 or 2 times, and then we won't see them again. Because they haven't accepted the diagnosis. And that's common as well.
Very common. Very common. But what makes it good in your support group, the support group that NAMI runs, the class that NAMI's family-to-family class that my wife and I have taught for, well, I taught longer than her, so let's say 12 years, is that the teachers or the facilitators of the support group have been there, have done that, have gone through it. So it's not like somebody forgive me, but some suit from the outside coming in and sitting down, and they read two books, and now they're an expert. You know, you've lived it. I've lived it with my family, as I told you earlier, mm-hmm. with my son. Everybody in NAMI in Hunterdon County has it in some way, shape, or form. They either have a mental illness and have lived through it, or they have someone in their family who has a mental illness. So when we come to a support group, it's not like the people coming are being taught by the suit. They're being led by someone or a couple or whoever that's been through it. And it's very, very helpful, you know, to have someone like yourself run a support group or, you know, because you've been there. You know what the downfalls can be. You know what, you know, happens if you don't take your meds because you stop taking your meds.
Absolutely.
And you know what can happen. And, you know, it's not like, you know, Joe Smith up the street who has never even heard of mental illness telling somebody, well, if you don't stop taking your meds, you're going to do this. He doesn't know. You know, he hasn't walked the talk. But you have. And just like the rest of us in this room have, you know. So it makes a big difference. It really does. In my opinion.
Karen, let's clarify something. Most of the people who come to your group are people living with who have the mental illness rather than their families, would you say? Or are there a lot of family members?
Yes, most of the people are living with a mental illness.
But
we have a couple family members, but most mm-hmm. are living with the mental illness. Right.
When your family members come, do they bring? Are they there with the loved one?
Yes. Or,
okay.
In our group, yes.
Okay.
Although I did not come with my, I usually came alone.
Right.
Because my family member is and was still in denial. So, but I learned so much just from listening to everyone.
That's what we hope we can do for those who are coming for their loved one.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we should switch gears just a tiny bit. Let's talk about, from what you've learned, what are some changes that are needed in the mental health system? What are some of the biggest challenges people in your group are facing?
Insurance.
Hmm. Amen.
There are new laws that are coming about. NAMI has been fostering it. DBSA has been fostering it, parity laws. They're supposed to be in place. You're supposed to have the same law for mental health insurance as for physical health insurance. But somehow, it doesn't always pan out. These are things that NAMI, DBSA, other advocates are working on to make sure that mental health coverage is the same for any other.
And rightly it should.
Exactly.
You know, are you familiar with the, there's supposed to be a resolution that was passed and is supposed to take effect July 1st? Of 2017 that could cut benefits even more so, and some agencies could dissolve and not be in existence anymore?
I thought that it was, it involved medication.
It does involve medication,
right.
But the fact is that a lot of companies, quote unquote, or organizations that help now may not be able to for lack of funds. So it could be a big issue. I'm on a mental health board in Hunterdon County.
Okay.
And we were talking about it at our last meeting, and everybody was upset, and you know, because it's ridiculous. And you know, we have this thing that this link to send emails to the, you know, whoever your councilmen and mm-hmm. senators were. And, you know, we encouraged everybody on the board to do it and encouraged, you know, other people to do it because it could have a drastic effect. And ironically enough, New Jersey, with mental health in general, is better than a lot of the surrounding states.
Are you talking about a state law now, Larry, or federal?
Federal.
Okay.
And that could cost the state a lot, you know. I wish I could remember the name of the thing.
I don't remember it either.
But I know it's supposed to take effect in the 1st of July, unless it gets repealed before then.
Right.
But it doesn't, you know, unless people get behind it, it's not going to get repealed, you know.
There was something online where you signed a petition, which I have signed, and a number of other people I know from DBSA have signed. We have a chairman of advocacy, Carol Ricard.
I know her very well.
Yeah.
And she's been on here a couple times already.
She's excellent, and she advocates for mental health.
Yeah, I was on a mental health board with Carol prior, and she's looking to come back on again, so...
She will be able to better tell you than I.
Oh, no, I mean, you know, the chairperson is Kathy Zahn, and she knows it. But who I look at is my brother, which since I never had any brothers, Walt Dzinski. He's also the president of the Mental Health Board. Mm-hmm. He knows a lot about it also. But, yeah, you can reach out to Carol. University.org.
Yes.
You know. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, we're back again. We're going to talk just a little bit more about medication issues and the problems people have with taking and continuing to take their medication. What do you find, Karen?
Well, one of the reasons I stopped was I was feeling fine, and I had been on them for quite a while, over 20 years to be exact, and I decided I didn't need them. I found out I really did need them. I had an interesting conversation with my doctor this past Thursday, and she said that almost every patient that she's had has stopped their medication. But she said, it's sort of like this shawl that I'm wearing. The temperature has dropped, so I put the shawl on, and I'm comfortable. If I take the shawl off, the temperature's still low. I'm cold now. I need to have the shawl back on. And it's like that with medication. You need to keep the medication in your system so that it continues to work. And she also mentioned the fact that she had doctors as patients who knew better, but still decided that they would try to go off their meds, that it's a very common thing. And during the break, we mentioned that even when we have the flu, doctor gives us medication. We take it for 4 or 5 days, we're feeling good. We don't take it for the full 7 or the full 10 days. It's something that people do.
Do you feel that some have to almost hit bottom before they realize, I absolutely must have this?
Sometimes I think that's what has to happen, unfortunately.
I agree. Sometimes, you know, families have been dealing with someone who has a mental illness for years, and it's ups and downs and ups and downs. And sometimes they just have to let the person crash, as tough as it is for a family, especially parents for kids, to let that son or daughter or whatever crash. But sometimes that's all you can do, is let them crash and then build it back up. You know, unfortunately, that's a hard part. You know,
and watching that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Devastating.
Absolutely.
Knowing that the best thing you can do is nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in a sense, you're enabling them. You're, by constantly saving them, rescuing them, whatever, they're not going to feel the consequences.
Exactly.
And they're not going to realize that sooner or later, their support system, family type, won't be around, you know, and then they're on their own. And which is better, being in the, you know, back and forth to the hospital all the time, or taking the meds and maybe going on with their life, you know? So it's not easy.
No,
it's not easy at all. You know, I try to point out, when we do presentations, we do a PowerPoint, and the first thing we do is show two screens of all the famous people with mental health issues. And there's always a couple that stick out for me, like Buzz Aldrin, the astronaut, suffers from severe depression. Winston Churchill, you know, carried England on his back for 7 years, and he was majorly depressed. And others, you know. But the point I try to make to people is, you don't have to be a famous actor. You don't have to be a singer like Demi Lovato, who has now come out and is talking at NAMI conferences and stuff. And people like that are great, because it helps. It helps the rest of the population see that people like her and, you know, others come out. And it's wonderful. And, but, you know, it's like they can go on with their life. I can tell you, I know a handful, about at least five, and it's only my limited knowledge, five people who are doctors, psychotherapists, psychiatrists, you know, who have suffered through depression, attempted suicide, went in hospitals in and out, and now are doctors having a practice. And so they can go on with their life. You know, like I said to you earlier, in my case, where my son is at, he's a success. If that's all it is, he's a success, and that's he's happy, and that's all that counts.
That's the main thing for him.
That's all that counts, you know. He can't sing anyway, so he'll never be a singer. You know? But anyway, no, you know what I mean. It's like, you know, it's what works, you know.
I do think, though, that the stars that have come out have helped reduce the stigma.
Right, right.
Somebody will see that, oh, for example, Richard Dreyfuss, Lady Gaga. Really?
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen just came out.
Exactly.
You know.
They suffer from a mental illness?
Yep, they sure do. Right.
And
look how far they've gone with their life.
Exactly.
You know. But it wasn't because they didn't take medication. It wasn't because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. It was because they did what they were supposed to do that got them to that point.
Right. And I just read recently that Demi Lovato is taking a break from touring to deal with her mental health issues.
Right.
And that's good.
She used to stay up for 4 or 5 days at a time, all night, all day.
Writing,
and
that
she would write songs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she thought that was normal.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But hearing about all these people really helps to offset the negative stereotypes of that we, you know, all of these tragedies that are connected to people with mental illness. At least there's the other side of the coin. Those
right.
who have dealt with it successfully and are, some are role models, or at least they're well known anyway.
Right.
Can you point to any specific, maybe some success stories that you can think of being somewhat general that have happened as a result of?
Yeah, we're talking to one.
I was going to say, exactly. Do you mean my life story? Or
we're talking about a success story. Her name's Karen. Yeah, no.
I figure I made it. Mm-hmm. When I say I made it, I lived and am living a happy life. I managed to have 2 children that escaped mental illness, which it tends to be hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
But my one grandson didn't fare so well, and he suffers from mental illness. He's in a special school. He's getting help, which is good. And my granddaughter got crossed eyes, which I have too. And I said, what did they do to deserve this? But she's wearing glasses and her eyes are pretty straight. And my grandson is coming along nicely with mental illness. And I never really let myself get caught up with a celebrity. It wasn't me. So I can't say that a celebrity turned my head.
You know, Karen, I wanted to mention, you do sometimes have guest speakers at your meetings, too, don't you? Do you
yes.
want to talk about that a little bit?
We have had Dr. Laura DiMarzo. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She has a not a psychiatric social worker group that she is head of. And she talks about mindfulness, meditation, and how important that is in the life of a patient to get yourself grounded. Mm-hmm. We have had people come. We've had Carol Ricard come.
There you go.
And talk.
She's famous.
She's famous. And she has come to talk about parity. She's come to talk about being stable. We have had people come and talk about nutrition and how important it is to eat well. And we've had people come and talk about medication and the factor and what factors are involved with medication.
Great. And one of the things that you talked about, the meditation, what you talk about coping skills. Do people share their own personal coping skills, and what do you find are some good ones?
Ah, that's a good one. Because when they bring up a topic of, oh, I don't know what to do, we throw it out to the audience and ask them, what have you done in a situation like this? And sometimes if it's dealing with a family member, they will say, sometimes you can't change a family member's mind. So don't try. Sometimes they'll say, you have to avoid that person because that person is toxic for you. Sometimes in talking about how to cope with being depressed. What do? I can't get out of bed in the morning. And then someone will say, well, what I did was I set my alarm and I got up. If I got up, that was a success. Most of the time they talk about small steps that they took.
Right.
What to someone might say, that's ridiculous. But it's not. It's a small step moving in the right direction.
You need a lot of small steps to make the big step.
Exactly.
So, and you know, I suggest a lot of times, not only to families, but to people with mental health issues, do something you like every day, whether it's 5 minutes. If you like sitting on your deck and looking out at the birds, do it. You know, if you enjoy doing crossword puzzle, do a crossword puzzle once a day. But take 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever you can spare, and do something you enjoy doing. Regardless of what you think it may, you know, whether it's sitting there watching Days of Our Lives on television or something, you know, if you really like that, I mean, that's fine. But it's something that you like, because you have to do
engage.
Something you like and engage yourself in something you enjoy. And the more you do it, the more it seems to rotate and progress. And so you may start out at 10 minutes and you may wind up with 15 or 20 or 30 or whatever. Volunteering, if you can. There's a lot of places that need volunteers. Meals on Wheels, you know, the hospital, the public.
Pets.
I'm sorry?
Pets.
Yes, pets. Absolutely. There's a lot, you know, that need, that you, if you can volunteer. Even if it's one day a week for a couple hours.
It gets you up.
Up, out of bed.
Out.
Right, and outside. What we talked about earlier before
right.
we went on the air. You know.
And there's one other thing I would like to mention.
Go ahead.
There are two magazines. One is called BP Magazine, and the other is called
Esperanza.
Esperanza. And I have found Esperanza is for people who live with anxiety and depression. BP is for people who live with bipolar. I have found that they often overlap. But if you want a subscription for Esperanza, you would go to hopetocope.com. And for BP Magazine, you would go to bphope.com.
The doctor I was speaking about earlier, who I went before, she's the Ask the Doctor in Esperanza.
Ah, okay.
I won't mention names, but she's in there as Ask the Doctor. She has that every, was it monthly it comes out? Because I get it, but I think it's
quarterly.
Monthly. Quarterly. Okay, yeah, it's quarterly. Right. Right. You're right.
And Carol Ricard writes in this as well.
Yeah, every now and then she writes in there too. But
and it's
the
not too expensive, is it? They
it's $19.95 mm-hmm. for a year in print, $14.95 for a digital iPad subscription.
In our last 38 seconds, no, last minute we have, if someone wanted to reach out and find out more about where the meetings are, and how would they do that? Is there a phone number or
they can
an email
reach
address?
Me for the Somerset County at 908-647-1797. Or you can go online to dbsanewjersey.org. And they will point you to
all the counties,
the support groups located mm-hmm. in New Jersey,
okay.
with contacts,
right,
and directions.
That's
let's
wonderful.
Let's go through that one more time, real quickly, for people in case they need a pencil to write it down.
It's dbsanewjersey.org, okay. And New Jersey is spelled out.
Right. Okay. And you're 647-1797.
Right.
Area
that's
code.
908-647-1797.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Karen.
You're
time
welcome.
Went fast. And
it did.
See, you didn't faint even.
No, it was fine.
Thank you so much, Karen. It's been really great.
And we'll be back again next week. This is Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, it really does matter. See you next week.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
People are coming into our country like we have no idea who they are, where they're from, what their feelings about our country is, and she wants 550% more. This is going to be the great Trojan horse of all time.
Donald Trump attacking Hillary Clinton during last night's combative presidential debate. Trump's comments coming in response to Hillary attempting to claim he wanted to stop all Muslim immigration when Trump said he just wants to vet people. He wants to make sure the people coming into the country are who they say they are. At least 19 Americans dead from Hurricane Matthew, 10 of them in North Carolina. Governor Pratt McCrory says a levee has broken in one town, forcing major evacuations and rescue efforts.
Rescuing some people off the roofs of their house due to a breach, which is impacting about 1,500 residents. And this just occurred, I think, early this morning when it was still dark.
USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
First, Gary from accounting came in with the sniffles. Just a cold, he said. But it was not a cold. Then Janet breaks out in a heavy sweat. That's the flu. Then round and round the office it goes. But when it's your turn? Well, it's not going to be your turn because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're waiting for the coughing, sore throat, aching flu to pass, you can go to the big game. Score! Shield yourself with the flu shot from Rite Aid before it's too late. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers.